AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM, which, as you know, serves the entire Philadelphia and surrounding areas, as well as the state of New Jersey and Northern Delaware. And as you know, I go out to a lot of events in the course of any given week or a month. And the biggest thing that I find is that people are talking about what's happening here in the USA. And I also learned that people are able and enjoy listening to our broadcast on the internet. And we even have some special information to share with you today. I want to say thank you to Mike Sessions. He placed the app up there for Buy American. All you have to do is go on the internet, log on to Buy American on your phone, your iPhone, not for Androids yet. Some people have been mentioning to me about Androids, but I'll talk to Mike as time goes on. But Mike is making some adjustments to it. He's done a great job. I want to thank him. Some people are able to listen now to the broadcast live and also to the rebroadcast. Remember, the app is free, and thanks to Mike Sessions. He's doing this as a volunteer effort. Thank you, good sir, for all your help. Go for USA. That's GoForUSA.com, and we have it linked right on the front page of American Workers Radio. First of all, I want to thank our panel members who volunteer their time and put a lot of effort into being with us on a regular basis. My thanks to Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology, and also our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, and I am the guy most people see in my travels and give me their opinions of what is happening. And I really do appreciate all that you have to say. It really means something to know that these things are an important issue for you, that we're talking about jobs, job skills, supporting small businesses, getting people to have their own security, not be looking for dependency on the government or have to have a dependency on the government because they don't have jobs. Last Wednesday, we had a great guest, Sarah Blackwell, who was very informative. We received a lot of information from her. People were very pleased with what she has to say. And we're going to talk more to Sarah and about what is happening in Washington and what big businesses are saying about some of the things where they won't be able to bring in all these foreign workers that easily in the future, unless we find out that there's no American workers available to even attempt to fill those jobs. Also, I want to remind you that if you didn't hear last week's broadcast, you can hear last week's as well as many, many weeks prior to that by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, before I go to our panel, and I want you to be wide open today, say what's on your mind, because that's what people really love. They love to hear what all of you have to say. A lot of people are looking into going into small businesses. They're saying, maybe I should consider, I may contact SCORE. There's been a seminar offered at one of the hotels, and you know, you pay $50 and somebody speaks for a few hours and gives you lots of idea. I say, well, contact SCORE, it's a free service, and they'll probably give you more of a background and you'll have an ongoing contact with the person. People want us to move up the ladder of success, not just stand there. And everyone I speak to these days, and wow, this is a growing feeling in most communities, they feel the entitled mentality in America must end. And we must return to being a business and jobs-based economy. Whatever that's going to take, We have to focus on it. We've already been doing a job on it. And I want to thank again our good panelists, Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Handel. They've really added. And guys, when we talk on this broadcast, many people say it's like listening to family and friends sitting around the living room or around the kitchen table, hearing what different people did and what they said. A lot of them don't even care about the political stuff. They want to hear what is the obligation of our leaders in Washington on both sides of the aisle and the independents to really do something to change America. Today, I'm going to ask our panel members to be very blunt in, as what they see happening with jobs and businesses these days. And for that, I'm going to call on Dr. Larkin Connolly. Larkin, how are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Michael. And good morning to my fellow panelists, Mark and Rich and Henry. As usual, my best to you. I have so much to say this morning because I missed last week that I don't even know where to begin. But I will make an announcement that effective May 1st of this year, which is about two weeks away, I will be stepping down as the Northeast Region Vice President in charge of the 14 states of the Northeast. I've done an awful lot at SCORE, and I've enjoyed every minute of it, helping entrepreneurs and helping people moralize their feelings and their energy for starting a small business. But it's time for me to move on. I've got a couple of good ideas. One of them I exercised yesterday, which I hope we'll get a chance to talk about a little bit later in the program. But I am now just a standard mentor. I still have a cadre of about five individuals that I mentor, and I will continue to do that for SCORE and help them in absolutely any way I can. But the wayward traveler, Michael, has been taken away from me, and probably much to my health desire. I mean, I was really running myself a little on the ragged side there, covering an awful lot of geography. But I'm being replaced by two gentlemen. They've split my territory in half, and they now have the New England region and the Mid-Atlantic region. But that would be my news for today. Effective May 1, I step down as the regional VP for SCORE.
Well, Larkin, you've done an unbelievable amount of work for this organization. We will constantly promote the organization, and you have to keep us totally updated as to what SCORE is doing. It's a great organization. The people that I had the opportunity to meet when you've had sessions here at the center in Philadelphia, all very sincere people with the main objection of what's happening in Washington. We got it saying they don't like how America turned, and they want to turn it around by getting people into businesses, but making sure that the people know what they're doing.
Well, I will say this about SCORE, much to their credit. They have remained totally apolitical. All they want is to grow businesses regardless of what the atmosphere is like in Washington, D.C. I, on the other hand, marvel day in and day out at the Democrats' total inability to understand the loss of this presidential election and the loss of three up-and-coming either runoffs or elections for seats that were vacated in the House in order to fill Trump's cabinet. And it appears as though they're going to lose all three of those. And so here's what we're faced with. Until the Democratic Party wakes up and understands that the American people are tired of the government not serving them, of the government serving the elected as opposed to the people that they're supposed to be governing and helping, the Democrats are going to be non-plus. They're not even going to be loyal opposition. They've got to figure it out, and they've got to figure it out pretty soon. They can continue to send the likes of Schumer and people like that to the microphone to talk about what Trump is doing. And the polls continue to say that 96% of the people that voted for Trump are still behind Trump, saying you are doing what you said you would do, and that's all we ask for. And until the Democrats figure out very, very quickly that they are not serving the American voter, they're going to be a nonplussed political party.
Well, as I said before you came on, Larkin, people are tired of the entitlement mentality. I'll give you an idea how this mentality has killed our tax base, killed our communities, killed our people, not killed them physically, but killed their spirit to move forward and be someone. By putting all of these people on these various entitlements, it really hurt people because they were not looking to go up the ladder of success. They just kept saying, well, you need this, you need food stamps, you need this, all kinds of entitlement programs, instead of them saying, what about a job, a skill program? How about we enroll you in a night school, a day school, where you'd be able to come out and have some ability to go into heating and air conditioning, woodwork, whatever. No, they don't look at things like that. It's just those people who are in government want to keep their jobs, so they want to keep all the people possible needing government access to programs, and that's what we object to as an American people. That's this mentality of free, free, free. There is nothing free in the world, maybe air, and that's going to be a little bit of a problem in the future.
So, we have to understand that the American people, and this doesn't speak for all of them, because some people have gotten used to entitlements and are quite comfortable with the situation. But until Washington, D.C. understands that people want a hand up,
right,
and not a hand out,
right,
it's we're going to continue to the conservative politicians are going to continue to thrive because they want to, you know. You even listen to Bernie Sanders. We have to fix education. How do we fix that? Well, we make education free.
Free is not the way everything can be.
So it's not that. So Bernie, you know, free, free, free. Give this away. Give that away. Give this away. That's not the way this country's structured. If you eventually want to get in, I'm not telling you that the colleges and universities in this country aren't facing in the wrong direction, because they very definitely are. And I've read two bulletins from, the college bulletin that you usually receive from the colleges and universities that I was associated with, either as a student or in some other capacity. And in both of them, the opening articles in these magazines from the president are of those institutions are saying, we've got to change. We've got to rethink what we're doing, and we have to rethink the way we're educating people. We have to discontinue this automatic concept that it's such a privilege to go to the University of Pennsylvania, I'm willing to pay $75,000 a year. And this idea that there are as many foreign students in that college because they can afford to pay it, than there are outsiders. So it's very, very screwed up. And I'm telling you, the loyal opposition, and that's exactly as I consider the Democrats, they are a very loyal opposition and create, as they are supposed to, a balance for the American political system. But until they wake up and understand that they got a butt beaten in the last election, and they got it for a reason. Now they're just trying to tear down Trump, which is whatever. That's just politics today.
You know, Larkin, you're right. And I would love to see all of these people, instead of tearing down, present suggestions that could build America so we go up the ladder of success. I'm not interested what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, what Trump said in the campaign. I want to know what is going to be now. That's where Mr. Schumer and Pelosi and all these other people should present positive ideas. I'm not talking about party, Democrat, Republicans, independents. I'm talking about positive ideas. When I go around, people tell me, Michael, keep pushing the idea that we need more trades and more hands-on jobs in our schools so our youth get out of school with the sheepskin as well as some ability to know how to use a hammer and everything else. Make something.
So I don't want to step on Mark and Rich because I'm sure they're both itching to add something to this conversation. But you know, we can talk politics all day long. It's not going to get fixed. It's not going to get fixed until the Democrats create some balance. Not everything that the Republicans want to do is totally correct. And
by no means.
That's why you have a balance. That's why you have a two-party system, or as Rich would say, that's why we should have a 15-party system. But it's not going to get fixed because right now there's only one program being advanced, and there's the loyal opposition's doing nothing but tearing down that program as opposed to offering an alternative.
Larkin, thank you for your opening remarks. You were absolutely outstanding as always, and I know that you will serve SCORE and serve our radio broadcast with distinction in the future. I'm going to go to Mr. Rich. I know that Rich is waiting to have his say. Rich, you know what? How about we not lay on the politics today, but on the policies that you would like to see implemented?
Well, good morning, Michael and Larkin. Welcome back, Mark, our listeners. I have to say right from the outset here that in the several years I've been on this show, I've learned an awful lot from being a part of this show. And I've learned a lot from some of the listeners who give us the feedback weekly. And I have to give Larkin a lot of credit for really balancing effectively, being nonpartisan, but very politically aware and politically concerned. So now that Larkin is stepping down, I only have one wish list, one little item on my wish list, which is that now that you will be stepping down from the larger role of SCORE, let's not be diplomatic anymore. Diplomatic, that's boring. I don't want diplomacy, Mark. I want to get fired up on this show. Man, that's boring. Diplomacy, I don't want that. I want to hear Larkin because as I listen to Larkin, someone who doesn't know Larkin but is just in that hopeless Democrat group of people will hear what Larkin said and think that Larkin is some kind of Republican Party sycophant. When we know, Larkin, that you're not, but it's just the mindset of those on like either side, right? So you have the very far left spectrum, and then you have the very far right spectrum. Neither one is good, but the big difference is that the far right spectrum, yes, it's there, but it's a small, very small percentage of voters. The problem with the far left spectrum is predominantly the majority of people in that group are Democrat voters no matter what. I mean, if Jeffrey Dahmer were nominated as a Democrat, the average Democrat voter would say, well, I know he's a serial killer, but at least he's a pro-choice serial killer. So if we don't start getting the pendulum, like we got to swing that pendulum exactly back to what Larkin just said, which is getting a little more moderate, getting a little more sensible, inhabiting more of the real world. And that's going to come ultimately from the voters, though, Michael. It's not going to come from the Democrat Party. Now, the Republican Party, they've made very clear over the course of the primary and into the general election and now post-election that there's a certain segment of the party that seems to just like being against the president. So we don't know what would have happened to the Republican Party had the outcome been different, although I suspect and I'm going to say it again, that I don't believe the Democratic Party would have ever lost a presidential election ever again had they won this election, because they would have never lost the Supreme Court ever again. And that doesn't mean that I think it's a good thing for a de facto one-party Republican Party rule. The problem is that the Democrats as a national party are so off the rails right now that no one who's even a moderate or a libertarian or an independent, we're starting to feel like, again, we're always kind of the odd men and women out here, because we're looking at the party thinking, well, the Democrats are so gone that if we do anything other than vote for the Republican candidate, we're going to just help this person who's just a hopeless Democrat. So this is not where, this is not what we want our elections ultimately to be about. So we don't want to find ourselves in that situation, but unfortunately, we're starting to, a lot of independents are starting to feel that way. And the Republican Party's challenge right now, as I see it, is to go from an opposition party to a governing party. You know, they're trying to find that balance right now between being the opposition but becoming the governing party, because there's a very good possibility that the Republican majority will increase after the midterms next year. And I just, we want our listeners to know that despite the things we say, sometimes we may seem very anti one side. We're a nonpartisan show, Michael.
Absolutely.
So I want to just mention one other thing here about entitlements, not really related to jobs in the economy. I think the entitlement mentality has actually infested essentially every industry throughout the United States. And I'll use education for one as a moment. You know, I'm not a big fan of everything that Ann Coulter does, the author. You know, but she's got this event going on at Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley. And I was reading a story today there. The law enforcement, they've been telling the media that if she speaks tomorrow, that there's a 99% chance of violence. Now, to think about that, this is exactly what happens in third world totalitarian dictatorships. The threat of violence, the use of violence to suppress speech, to drown out speech which you disagree with. And when we think about this, Michael, as much as the convenient approach is to just say, oh, the youth, so screwed up, so this, so that. I'm not absolving them of their responsibility. But the reality of it is that they were taught and indoctrinated into thinking that using violence is okay to prevent a speaker, regardless of whatever the views may be. Doesn't matter whether you agree, disagree. That's not relevant. What's relevant is the speech. So here we have right now a growing segment, and I would like to ask a growing segment of people who think that's okay. And I would like to ask, Michael, and I'm not going to name names, but I'd like to ask all the people who listen to this show who are sometimes, shall we say, critical of us and perhaps critical of me. I'd like for them to get on this show and say that they think that that is an abhorrent reflection on what's happening in America right now. Because I know you said, Michael, that people don't want to come on air, they don't want to be heard because of a variety of reasons, whatever the case may be. But will those people who disagree with us on some things, do they agree that what we're seeing across America at colleges, universities, do they think that's okay?
No, they don't. I want to tell you, they do not.
I want to hear them. But I want to.
No,
hear
they
them.
Don't, Rich. I want to tell you, they do not agree with all of this, and they are angry. Quite frankly, every person in America is now concerned with the way the national media is wasting nothing but time, putting out garbage instead of putting out ideas. What do we do to unite people? That's the bottom line. What do? We don't find ways to give them more for free. We find them ways to get a job, be able to earn, be able to serve their families, with able to save some money. We have to find that back the way it was 25 years ago. Many of the people, by the way, if you go to a job fair or something, majority of those young people, they're very discouraged the way things are in America. You go to job fairs today and it's all people looking for you to be a salesperson for insurance or something else, mainly in sales. Where are the real jobs people go there for? People have, it's those that have gone to even night school or to AP Orleans to learn about the trades. There's very few places for them to go. Yes, there are jobs opening more and more, but it's not the amount of jobs we need to get America's economy back on the road to success. And so people are disgusted. I speak to people, they say, I went to four job fairs that you advertise on Saturday and during the regular weekday programs. I went there and it's all sales jobs. There's really no full-time jobs opening up with opportunities that I'll be able to move up the ladder, maybe go from a worker to a supervisor to possibly an owner someday. But that's the way the media is portraying. And by the way, before I go to Mark, even David Muir has been pushed down on ABC World News by big corporations that don't like that he was promoting the Buy American Made campaign. If you notice, he's no longer doing it. He does like a little America Strong, how somebody did something positive, but he's not going out to the businesses as he pledged to do last year. All of that stopped because the advertisers hold the money when you don't advertise what they want you to advertise, and you throw in Buy American or look at this company's making something, they're angry. Have you noticed it, that he's not been doing it, Mark?
Absolutely. Good morning, guys. Mike, Rich, Larkin, and Mike, absolutely, you know, watch the nightly news. Me and Jackie will tape it. We'll watch it later. But, you know, if one thing we've learned is how that media is driven, like you said, by the sponsors, by the owners, and what they want to talk about. Because they can drive it, and I like David Muir, but I, you know, media somehow got so negative. But I'd like to back up, Mike, and first, Larkin, like to congratulate you. You know, thank you for repping SCORE all, you know, them years, and you must have a helicopter. Hopefully you don't got to give that back, because 14 states is a lot to cover. But you understand what entrepreneurism is, and I rarely met anybody that did, and I wished I met you 20 years ago. because, you know, having somebody to talk to, most entrepreneurs don't really have somebody to bounce things off, because we got, you know, they call us crazy. We got a lot of energy and a lot of passion, but it's very, very difficult. So thank you, Larkin, for all you've done, and meeting you, you know, has been an honor. But I know you'll still be involved. You can't disconnect, and helping them five and always being there, I think, will be great. But thank you for your service and introducing me to SCORE.
Nice comment. Thank you.
You know, what you use were talking about, I laugh when we talk about Donald Trump as president, and Larkin, you were bringing up the Democrats were, you know, disconnected. And I think you're dead on where they got to realize what happened this past election, because my father was a Democrat his whole life, Local 6 UAW. He voted for Trump, but he's still Democrat. He knows, though. He loves America. He knows the system's broken. If you can't, if you don't know that disconnect, and you're not living as an entrepreneur or a businessman or a hard worker or a middle-class American, you don't get it. You know, I see the snowflakes and the things going on. Are you kidding me? We work very, very hard. Living the dream is unbelievable amount of work. My father's 80, 81 going on this year, and he sits there and he thinks we're nuts, Larkin. You know, entrepreneur, you do all this for what? You know, and he can't believe how hard we got to work and how tight they've made it by regulation, how tough they made it to make a dollar, especially in New York State. He cannot believe what we go every day, what Rich goes through, and what an entrepreneur, just a middle-class American. He grew up poor. My mother was poor. We had an extra car and a swimming pool, but he worked two jobs. So, yes, he voted for Trump, but he voted against the system, not necessarily for Trump. He knows it's broken. I think you have to know that. You can't just go as business as usual. And I think that you made a very good comment. They have to wake up. We want balance. But Work in America spoke up, and very important. And it bothers me when I watch TV, watch the news. People don't grab that, what's going on, because they're getting a handout. And I love when you said you want a hand up, not a handout. Most people want a hand to get up. Live their part of their life, have their piece of pie, and really support their family. Leave me alone. Get out of my way. I don't need a handout, but I need help. Don't overregulate me. Don't make it so hard. Both of us got to work double jobs. You know, we work very hard, my wife, my family, our kids, to run the business. We're about livelihoods, not about money. So what we're seeing on TV lately just bothers me more and more, how they've got to go negative or there's so much positive happening. My oil and mining's back. My military projects are coming back. There's so much positive in the last 3 months. I have to admit it, and I stay with the American Party. I see change already. Never see it on TV, though, and that bothers me.
You're right.
I wanted to add to that. Here's what really irritates me and is a main indicator. What do you think if the press 8 years ago or for 8 of the last years had called President Obama the Barack? I mean, how dare American media refer to Donald Trump, our president, as the Donald? Are you kidding me?
You know, Larkin, you bring up a good point. What you're seeing on Saturday Night Live, these night shows, this news, if it was ever done to President Barack Obama, never would it happen. Period.
Ever.
And you could not like him, and I'm not saying who I vote. It doesn't matter. You wouldn't see what you're seeing. There's no positive.
Well, you know, I have to tell you this. As we're talking, there was a lady who stopped me on Easter Sunday, and she is a regular listener. And she mentioned something to me, and it gave me a smile. I said, that's a great analogy. She said to me, you know, Michael, we've been watching for years and years, everybody looking in the China shop window. This time around, Donald Trump entered the China shop. And he said, I think something's going to happen. And everybody in the China shop said, we better run because this guy can break up the whole place. And that's what he's doing. He's shaking up the country. And people voted for the shakeup.
Absolutely.
They voted for the bull in the China shop to see what happens after all the China is broken. How do we rebuild it? Talking about the media, I am involved in several areas of the media. I want to tell you something which is very discouraging, and every one of you can understand this. Before those guys go on TV, no matter what the network is, they have a plan of action for today. What's going to happen on today's broadcast? They're putting all that time looking for the negativity of the day. I'm giving them a challenge again. Look for the positive things. Look how we can help support the American-made label. Look how we can get the kids in schools to have multi-skills so they can go out and be presenting high-quality products, make things, invent things, distribute things, you know, promote things. Why aren't they doing that? They feast upon sending people the wrong message. The reason is there are a group of people, rich people, who do not like the way the system is, and they will pay those broadcasters, unite those advertisers behind that negativity. I think they should unite all those broadcasters and start using their money. Mr. Soros and all these other people use their money to start promoting ideas as to how we're going to change America for the better. When China, the president of China was here, the first thing they said in the media, he's no good, he's this, he's that. But guess what? 25 years ago, 30 years ago, China sat down and they made a plan of action. They said, we are going to bring jobs to China, even though it's a communist regime, we are going to bring jobs. We will control everything. Our people will come from the rice paddies and go into the industries. They will make things. We will become number one in the world. Well, they became very high up in the world. That's what we need in America. And America's news media certainly has an opportunity to lead the way. What do you say about that? You're a man in the media, Richard. What do you think?
Michael, let me tell you what I think. What I think is everything you just said is never, ever, ever going to happen. The Democratic Party, nationally in America, the Democrat media industrial complex, every Democrat, not every, let me clarify, most Democrats, 35 years and older, they're gone. Do you guys get that? Do you get it? I mean, do you really get, like, do you feel it? Do you own it? Like, Mark, when you go out in the middle of a Buffalo winter and that cold, like it bites through your clothing and you feel, it feels like razor blades, right? You feel the cold. Do you guys, do we get it? Are we getting it? They're gone, Michael. They're gone. They're gone.
There are some people, you're right, Rich, there are still some very rich people ponying up the money to keep this wheel.
You're right. Six people.
Six people trying to pony this wheel and keep it going.
They're gone. They're gone.
The rest of the people are discouraged and they want change.
I know that's very eyebrow raising. I get it. Like George Carlin said, I'm ahead of my time, but only by an hour and a half. I get it. I understand people aren't going to, you know, like Lark, like, oh, we need to move to the middle and we need to, you know, guys, the two heads of the DNC, number one, the chairman of the DNC, Tom Perez, is a guy who loves an organization that thinks that people not legal in America should be able to vote, and his bud is a guy who has went out and campaigned and gotten chummy with people who are sympathetic to radical Muslims. That's the Larkin. That's who you're dealing with. I want you to tell me where you're going to find a negotiation and a deal. Tell me. I want every Democrat listening who's a hardcore Democrat who went out and voted for Clinton and they still don't understand why they lost. It's not because of Russia and sexism and the Electoral College. It's because you nominated Mussolini. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? If Dahmer were a Democrat, he'd get elected or voted because, yeah, he's a serial killer, but he's a pro-choice serial killer. It's okay. Must be all right. Well, they're gone. Look, they are gone. Kaput.
They are,
irreparable.
They are, but you've got to believe that they can come back.
That's on the voters, though, Larkin. But that's the question for the voters, not on a party. It's up to the voters. Again, I'm going to cite the guy because I personally, though I don't know him, I liked him. I thought he'd been a great candidate. Jim Webb. Remember that guy from the first debate when you had Lincoln Chafee? That guy, I couldn't tell from that guy's facial expressions if he was happy or constipated. He had the same face every single time they asked him a question. It was like this weird grin, like someone tightened, like someone gave him a wedgie. It was like this weird facial expression that he had. So you had him. You had another guy, Martin O'Malley, another dipstick. You had Sanders, Clinton, you had Jim Webb. Remember Jim Webb? Hi, I'm Jim Webb, former senator from Virginia. Oh, thanks for coming, Jim. Nice seeing you. Yeah, but I'd like to be able to speak more than 6 seconds. They ran that guy off the stage. You know why, Mark? Because he said, all lives matter. Oh, my God. And he said, I'm a Second Amendment guy. The horror, the horror. They ran that man off the stage, guys.
But they did. They're not. There's no question.
They ran him out. Goodbye. See ya. This guy doesn't fit.
That's true.
Along with Lincoln, Ben and Jerry's ice cream wedgie Chafee. Goodbye. See ya.
It's so true. It really is. That hits a nerve. as it should. It should hit somebody's nerve because it's spot on. There's no question. There's absolutely no question.
Well, you know, as I said many times, this is the opportunity too, Larkin. I don't know if you agree with this or not. This is the opportunity for a third party to rise up, to have three voices at least speak to us, and one to give ideas, one to give suggestions, and the other to oppose. I think we need more people speaking. That may throw the entire news media off. Who do they attack on any given day?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you'll resolve 80% of the problems if you just get term limits and don't allow people like, hey, listen, the Republicans got Mitch McConnell. I mean, they've got people on their side that have nothing but a really stale message. I mean, I was equally offended when he said, upon Barack Obama's election, that he would personally see that Barack Obama didn't get a single piece of legislation passed. But at that point, if I were a ruling Republican at the time, I would have instantly had him removed from the party. Removed. That's not the way this is supposed to work. And it's only gotten worse. And now the Democrats are doing it in what I call, and my children taught this, in what I call nanny, nanny, do-do. That's what's going on down there right now. They sound like a bunch of kids. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
I got to work. I can't do that, Larkin.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
I mean, get a handout, I get to work.
You know, guys, I want to tell you something. All of our efforts, I want you to know how much they are appreciated by our listeners. Even when I go into some of our advertisers, we had a big event, a Dingus Day celebration. I had a chance to talk to some of the advertisers with the Port Richmond Business Alliance. People are starting to talk. People are starting to stop. They're starting to look. They're listening to what's happening around them. And they're saying, what is this all about? This must end. Now, we're all hoping that there will be change. I have no idea exactly what the change is going to be in the next 3 or 4 years. But we have to hope for the best. And we can make it even better than the best if we all work together as one. Just like I said to people in Japan, we are all working together. China, we are all working together. Other countries talk about all working together. You come to America, the media is all working against doing something positive, whether it's Democrats, Republicans, all that extra time. You know, when they talk about flogging one side or the other, why aren't they presenting some ideas that we can all latch onto and say, hey, that's a better idea. Let's push the president or the vice president or the House or Senate to promote that. There's none of that.
Because, quite frankly, neither side will support it. Neither they all have this chip on their shoulder that says, you know, if it's not our idea, we're not doing it. Why would I do something like that? It's not my idea.
That's right.
And it's really a sad, a very, very sad state of affairs. And maybe the answer is that third party, somebody who can start anew on with a fresh slate and doesn't have to carry the baggage of people like McConnell and I can never remember that guy's name from New York. Every time I see him, I get goosebumps. I can't even begin to tell you. Schumer and the rest of those, you know, people up there. I listen to Schumer speak, and I scratch my head, and I go, what did he just say? He said the wall was too expensive. Okay, it is going to be expensive. No one builds a wall without spending some money. But if it isn't the wall, what is it? And they have nothing to add because America won't buy what they're selling, is the net bottom line. America will not buy what Chuck Schumer is selling.
Well, you know, quite frankly, Larkin, I hate to say this, but right now I got to the point, as soon as I listen to the negativity, I turn the channel or shut it off and go do something else. I can't hear it. We had visitors the other day, even my son-in-law was over, and he looked and he listened and he said, you know, I'm over all this negativity. I got to stay positive and let's change the channel. And that's a very good point. We have to start listening to the good things. The things that we talk about on this broadcast, we're trying to bring back jobs. We're trying to bring back enthusiasm. We're trying to get people educated. Stop, look, listen, look at the labels. Listen closely to the responses of the store personnel when you ask them if they have a competitive product made in America for the item you're looking for. Let's start promoting positive things. You believe it or not, when I told you a few months ago, there are a few greeting card companies that were exclusively going around the world to buy cards. I buy cards for different occasions, family occasions. More and more of those companies, as you go to the drugstores and all people, look at the card. You will find more of them made in America than we've had in years. That's very important that those people get the message, because they see 50 cards made in America were sold and 20 cards made elsewhere were sold. That gives them an indication that there's some thinking that people will settle, you know, for paying another 40 cents. And by the way, why is a card made in America $4 and a card made foreign still $4? I thought the foreign cart should be a buck and a half. They're saying everything is so much cheaper from abroad. Why is that card the same price as the American-made card?
Michael, there are two statements that President Obama made at the beginning of his first term and at the end of his second term that I want to say on air I 100% agree with. And let me give you the two statements. After he was first elected, he said, elections have consequences. At the end of his second term at the Democratic National Committee keynote speech he gave, he admonished the crowd who booed at the name of candidate Trump at the time. And his admonishment was, don't boo, vote. Well, I agree.
Yeah, well.
I certainly agree with that, Lark. I 100%
sure.
Agree.
Absolutely.
With that statement.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one more thing I want to add about the way this election went down and why I see there's a major change. First of all, in 8 years, we lost many of the most great generation in America, many of those people who served in World War II, who were very staunch one party or the other. Most of them were part of the Democratic Party. The new people started to register independent. Well, the independents are independent, and they went out and they voted the way they did, and so we have to honor the president, and we have to work with the president. It could have been Hillary Clinton, and we would have been working with Hillary Clinton. It doesn't matter who the president is. No one reaches in our pocket to spend our dollars. We make the decision on our own. We have to insist on equal numbers of competitive American-made products be available in every store that we shop.
And Michael, and Larkin, you know, Larkin, you might get... I hope I'm not – like what you said about McConnell before, he's in – like McConnell, McCain, Ryan, I want them – like I'm just saying on air as a public record, I'd like to see them go just as quickly as Elizabeth Warren and some of these others, okay, some of the other Democrats. If they both went out at the same time, I'd rejoice. So I hope I'm not going to contradict my agreement with you on that point. But let me tell you why President Obama said – why he really said elections have consequences, because what he was really saying was – we won, you lost, you need to work with me. I don't need to work with you. You lost.
Right.
You lost. You
That's
lost.
Correct.
So let's flip the switch, Larkin, right? Now, I'll say we being those who were against Hillary Clinton as president, okay, not voting for her. You lost. I don't need to work with you. You need to work with me.
That's correct.
You need to work with me. What's this work with – excuse me, you just lost 30 states. You lost so badly that there's no historic measure by which to measure your terrible loss against. You are now the standard for all future terrible losses. Because never in the history of America have the Republicans had the presidency, both houses of Congress, majority of governorships, and majority of state legislatures. It's never happened in 241 years of this amazing republic experiment called America, Michael.
And Rich, I think with the least amount of money spent on media, I think Trump did it, which is the American people speaking up. Washington's broke. Larkin, you brought up walls. Everybody on the radio here, they have a house with walls and a door. You may lock the door, you may not lock the door. But you do control who comes in and out. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Right.
It's just what it is. You know, I'd like to bring up, Mike, it's bus season up here at the Made in America store in Elma, which is awesome. Buses start to come in. I came in on last Sunday, 3 o'clock, met Dorothy, and my mom came. And great people coming from around the central State College area of Pennsylvania. And one lady grabbed me. She was from Italy, the family. She said, you know, my parents saved money up to get me to come to Italy. I came here legally. They spent a lot of money. We didn't like socialism. My mother raised 8 of us and put us all through college by having maybe one ice cream cone. She never ate. She saved, sold cigarettes on the side, whatever she could do. We might have spoke Italian a little bit in the house, but always spoke American in front of people. And it's funny, the people that really respect our country and love our country, and they never went back. They said, we didn't go back. We were in the best country in the world. Neat what you learn off the buses. These beautiful people coming in that love America. You know, and you can't emphasize that enough. They love America.
Mark, I agree 100%. And people that even come to the museum in Philly, they tell us the same thing. We want equal numbers of products made in America. I can't believe that those beautiful packages with the same logos on them, I never looked at the labeling. I look now and it's made in some other country. What the hell is this? I always reached for that regular package because I thought, wow, this is an American company. I'll support them. I never thought I'm supporting a company outside of America. So that's what the whole campaign that we're doing, education. And as people reach for more American made, we will see more people employed in this country.
But because of you, Mike, Henry, Larkin, Rich, our listeners, we educated people ourselves. And we all have to admit, you're picking up things to see where it's made, at least. And that's the start.
That's the big start.
That's the education.
You know, people are telling me on and on, we don't want our tax dollars focused on dependency anymore. Make sure that that is well known and understood.
And what's the problem of a president saying, hire American, buy American? Nobody should have a problem. He shouldn't go, Ivanka's got this, Trump's got this. Yeah, going forward, he absolutely should buy more made in America products.
Well,
but that's a great, great statement that we want from our leader that people listen to. We want to hear that every day.
But as I tell everybody, I'm going to watch Trump and Ivanka and all these other people that have been barking.
They better start
getting American. If they go 50-50, I'll be happy. That'll be a start. But they should focus on buying everything and the kitchen sink from America.
But, Mike, I don't think the listeners and the people talking about that on media realize how difficult it is to buy American. I'm proof. 7,000 products, but nothing that plugs in or takes a battery in the United States of America. It's unbelievable. The 35 years we got to this point where we don't make a toaster, we don't make an electrical unit that's made in our own country. That's a disgrace.
Yep, you have no idea how many people have learned that through this broadcast and said, I can't believe Mark has nothing that plugs in. How is that even possible in America, where all these products, where most of these products were made?
How did that happen, Mike? Because it's not sexy enough. People didn't care about the country as much.
No, it was the entitlement mentality. The people in government. How did government grow to be so big? 20% of the working people in America work for government. How is that possible?
How do we get that much? How that greedy?
That's right. And by the way, in addition to paying them, we then have to pay pensions and everything else until, you know, the end of their time. Something's got to change.
And
I'd rather see
Americans are working harder than ever to cover the slack. We can't do that.
And not getting anywhere, getting a break. You take a look at the economic status of the average congressman or senator, and I mean average. There are some people that get elected that already are wealthy, and that's fine, like Donald Trump. But there are people that go in there just flat broke and come out multimillionaires, and that's not right. Not on the government's back, not on my tax dollar. That's not the way that is supposed to work out. Listen, I want to interrupt you guys, and I want to get a word in here in the last few minutes of the program. I want to give a shout-out to an event that I had yesterday where I, along with Jim Austin, who is a great listener of our program and a great thinker about the concepts of Made in America and everything that we talk about, Jim and I met and had lunch very quickly yesterday, and we went out and visited a place called Seamark Ranch. And Seamark Ranch is a children's home that's more than a home. They create an atmosphere out there that's like a family atmosphere. They've only been around for 10 years. They have 16 kids out there now, girls and boys, in two different houses. They're building two more boys' homes and two more. And they live in a house, you know, eight kids with house parents who take care of the house and take care of the children in the house. It's just a family. I was so overwhelmed at meeting Fred Miners and his crew out there and seeing this ranch. It just absolutely overwhelmed me. It blew me away. In my, as most of you know, I'm adopted, and I've, after my SCORE experience, decided that I wanted to do a little pay it forward in that world of adoption and children, at-risk children, and what we can do. And this is all part and parcel to what we talk about in education when we say You want to fix education? Get back to the elementary schools. You want to fix education? Get down to the ground level and fix it, and everything going forward will kind of take care of itself. And that is so true. So I want to give a shout out to the CMARC Ranch in Green Cove, in wonderful downtown, or in the suburbs of Green Cove Springs, where I live. And I have been completely overwhelmed with what I saw yesterday, and the dedication of a lot of volunteers and a lot of people who care about at-risk children. I want to give a shout out to Jim Austin and to all of the people associated with CMARC Ranch. And that would be Fred Miners, who's the executive director. So I just wanted to get that out. I have a sneaking suspicion that we're being listened to by a handful of those people. So I just wanted to get a shout out nationally about an outfit that just is just magnificent in its mission and in its vision.
And Larkin, make sure they get a copy of today's broadcast. And thank you for bringing that to everyone's attention. See, positive. What I'm asking for is everybody to help us be positive. Try to get more enthusiasm for our campaign. Encourage family, friends, and neighbors to support the American-made label. Speak up in support of the American label. It all depends on how we do things.
Now, here's how crazy Fred is, and how crazy, you know, as Mary Washington said once to somebody up in City Hall when they said, "Is Larkin always think outside of the box like this?" And Mary said to that guy, "Oh, my God, don't tell him there's a box."
Larkin, thank you so much for all of your announcements to be continued. And I want to say closing remarks. Mark, how was your weekend? What do you have to say?
Yep, great time of year. May 1st coming upon us. We've got our 7-year, 7-store, 7,000 products event May 20th, Armed Forces Day. Everybody's invited. Be a great time, just free family fun. We're getting fired up in the spring, the wholesale side, store in stores. We just grew into a Harley-Davidson store up here, Gwanda Harley, so it's awesome. Have a great week, guys. Thanks to the listeners. Just remember, the difference you can make is unbelievable with your purchase.
And check out the Made in America store. It's linked on the front page of American Workers Radio. Rich, closing remarks.
Yeah, shout out to Mike Sessions, Go4USA app, redeveloping it. It's already a great product, going to be made new and improved even better. Go4USA app. Thank you to Mike Sessions.
And thank you to all of you listening. Kindly spread the word. We will have a rebroadcast out this afternoon. Send it to family members and friends and invite them to get involved in the Buy American Made campaign. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to wish all of you the very best. My thanks to Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. Thank you for all that you're doing to help change America for the better. We appreciate everything that you do. Don't forget to check out all of the links on AmericanWorkersRadio.com.